Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Not doing what you're saying, which you just got to get butts in seats and hope to go have a good time. But what I'm telling you is I feel better about what the Grizzlies are doing in terms of trying to build an actual championship caliber team than I do the Knicks. They're not getting closer with the moves that they've made. I love the strides Julius Randle's made, but that's not a team that's getting closer, and certainly adding Kemba Walker doesn't. Yeah, for what they're doing is you're going to have a little bit of fun right now. But this is not a build to a championship, not in my eyes, not with what the Knicks are doing right now. A franchise that's long deserved actual building toward it.
Yeah.
You know, they've cleaned the slate so many times, I don't feel like this is the one, they're going to be the one that gets them there. They're going to have to wait on the, like I said, the Zion reboot.
But the fans are happy, though.
They ain't going to be happy.
The fans were happy last season.
They got. How were they after they lost to Trey?
Of course.
All you've done
but
now.
Don't tell me those two games in Madison Square, those two plus games in Madison Square weren't fun.
My point is you've whet their appetite. It was fun for them. They're back, but they're not going to go up. And they're going to be unhappy with that very quickly, John. They're going to see very quickly, no, we're not moving up at all. In fact, we're stuck. I mean, that was a team that disappointed in the playoffs after what was a fantastic regular season for them, making strides. That's not a Knicks team that's going anywhere. They're going to have a little fun, John, and then they're going to lose in the playoffs to the three, four other better teams in the East. That's what it's going to amount to.
Well, look, it's not
doesn't get them anywhere.
The Grizzlies and the Knicks are clearly on totally different timelines and trajectories, right? The Knicks, it does feel like, are whatever they are right now. They're going to be a 5 seed in the East. They're going to be a 5 seed, 6 seed. Maybe you're trying everything you can do to be a 4.
That's not a good foundation on a home.
I agree.
On a championship. Look, if they're not going to be a championship team,
but you still have to like play a season.
No.
The Knicks can't do anything to be a championship team.
What you're saying about the Knicks right now, and listen, you're going to sell tickets in the Garden, whatever. It's kind of like the Cubs.
Right.
But what you're saying is sort of take the approach that the Grizzlies were doing when they were hanging on to the core four. Oh, just have a good time. When I was telling you, push the button and try to build a champion. That's sort of the approach with the Knicks here.
You act like you can't enjoy something unless it's the absolute best.
You don't play, John, just to get to the playoffs. And the Knicks shouldn't, with as down as that franchise has been for that long, they're not going to be okay with that for long. Yeah, they were happy that they were back and relevant last year and a 4 seed in the East, but they're not going to be happy with that for 2, 3, 4 years to come. That's going to be a franchise and a fan base that expects to get higher in the East. That is not happening. Yes, what are we talking about here?
They're coming off.
They just lost to Trae Young, who was the 5. They were going nuts. Did you see him in the streets?
Yes, 100%. They loved it, though. They loved it.
They loved being back. It was nice at first until they lost.
And you don't think they realized
the shortcomings they have as an organization.
You don't think they would take that same exact series to next season?
My point is Kemba doesn't fix that. Kemba doesn't get you to the next
level. Well, there's nothing they could do, right?
If you're the Knicks, losing in the first round next year is not okay.
I'm not saying they're going to necessarily lose, but if I tell you they're going to be right back in the 4-5 game next season, You don't think they would take that right now?
I could very much see in the East, would they take it? Sure, but they would take it with the hope of they're moving up and not just standing pat. And this is a stand pat, have a little fun right now type move. This does not get you closer to a championship is all I'm saying.
How are you going to handle it?
You're saying, oh, in years, you know, you're not going to win the championship. It's okay to just have a little fun. No, you should always be building towards something. And that's why the Grizzlies have taken his eye towards the future and essentially agreed to perhaps take a step, a half step back this year. Because it's about building toward a championship, not just about having a little fun. If it's about having a little fun, you take the money you got and you go get some veteran right now that helps you be the seven seed.
Yeah.
No, it's about more than that. And it should be about that more than that for the Knicks. Same as for the Grizzlies.
How are you going to handle it when the Grizzlies miss the playoffs next season?
I've already talked about it. I'm okay with it because I think you're building something bigger.
That is the difference, right? Like, that is the difference.
You gave up Jonas Valanciunas.
The Grizzlies clearly have not plateaued.
They're 21 years old.
Right, exactly.
If you were expecting the Grizzlies to be a finished product with your two key cogs 21 years old, then you're foolish. You're right. Setting yourself up for disappointment. It's a different.
But here's the thing. The Knicks cannot be and may never again be a championship contender.
They should be because of the market. It's owed. I mean, they didn't bring Rose, all these guys, Leon Rose, all this new front office they've got. They didn't do this to just make the playoffs again. They did it because they're a big market whose fans don't give a damn about the Nets and have long expected them to get back on top. And that's what they should be doing. And this move, again, doesn't get you any closer. It will be served.
It will be fun.
It will be
they
served will to fans it. To say, hey, we made moves. We're trying to improve it. Yes. But this, again, unlike the foundation the Grizzlies are building, doesn't get you any closer. This is still a shaky foundation.
I agree. The Grizzlies are in a much better situation long-term than the New York Knicks. However, the Knicks have been such a joke of a franchise until last season, quite frankly, that they're just trying to hold on to what little credibility they've gained. And I think they do. And look, they're like, to me, if you're not the Lakers and you're not the Bucks and you're not the Nets, like, you're playing for a different end game, right? Like,
The end game should be a title after those are done, to that point. And that's the end game the Grizzlies are playing toward. For when it's our turn.
Yes.
And the Knicks aren't building
They don't have the salary cap.
That's the point. They have no super.
I mean, Julius Randle came out of nowhere, right? So I think they're trying to hold on to. I think where you and I disagree is I have no problems with doubling down on just trying to be a credible playoff team because I don't think the Knicks can be anything other than that right now. I don't think there's anything who could they have gone out and gotten. That would have, you know what I'm saying?
They were hoping that would be a Kyle Lowry. They weren't hoping that was their first hope.
Well, the truth is they were hoping to get Kevin Durant, right? They were hoping to get Kevin Durant.
Oh, initially for the initial
two,
plan,
three
yes.
years ago. And they struck out on nobody.
Sure.
On everybody, and they got Julius Randle.
But just because you get KD doesn't mean you shut down and stop trying to win a championship.
I just feel they shouldn't
be doing that in that city. In that franchise.
You're stuck.
But Dolan's always been an issue. Again, he decided, okay, we're going to get serious about this thing, clean out the front office, and I just think they've built it the wrong way.
Yeah, I just feel like you're stuck in that Pontiac from many, many, many years ago in the 80s, and you still think the Knicks are just this you know, destination, man. I don't feel like they're that anymore, you know?
Well, you need to go watch Zion Williamson in the press conference when the Pelicans were up there.
I believe it when I see it.
In a loss.
I believe it when I see it.
Stop.
You think Zion Williamson's going to be a Knick?
If you don't think that the Knicks are a freaking sleeping giant.
A sleeping giant.
In terms of the market and what you can be in New York, yeah, they've blown it. The guy, they went and got Carmelo, they blew it. That didn't work either. That was a poor pillar of that foundation they were trying to build. It's what you can do in New York in terms of a market. If you don't think that's a sleeping giant in terms of doing it the right way, if they get the people in there to do it the right way, that they can't be at the top.
But you don't have to go to New York anymore.
Of the East.
The internet exists.
You don't have to.
Back when you were loving the Knicks.
That doesn't mean it's not a sleeping giant.
Bro, we have the internet now.
And again, I would tell you, tell me that Zion Williamson wasn't excited about playing in the Garden. He was in a loss. Oh my gosh, it was great to be here. Who's the last guy
before Zion who said, man, this is amazing?
The Knicks will be great. The Knicks will not be some moribund franchise forever.
They can't be
because their fan base, it refuses to be that forever. They refuse. And again, look at how they were after the loss to Trey. Oh, it was fun when you make fun of his hair and all that. Look at how salty they got after they lost. It was completely disappointing. That is a major market that should be on top of the East, and they've blown it year after year. Now, I'm not saying that as some old-timer says, oh, the Knicks got to be right up there. They should be. It's a major – are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They got all the advantages. It's New York City.
I know, but you're just old-fashioned, you know? Like, these guys don't need New York City. They can be marketed anywhere now.
TikTok, Jason.
Okay.
TikTok.
Yeah. Right.
Get with the times. Right.
Like all of a sudden the small market is now for all of it. Well, now things have changed. John Martin's coming here and said that it does. Big markets don't matter anymore. Well, you can get it done in a small market because the Bucks have won. Stop. If you have a good situation up there, no, KD didn't pick him, but if you got a good situation up there, you're still playing in the Mecca, right? There's still a way to do this. It's not going to be something that has to be at the bottom of the East for the rest of time. It should be up at the top. They've got all the advantages in terms of the draw. New York City, come rebuild the. This should have been easy, and they've continued to make it hard. And no, just making the playoffs is never going to be acceptable for the New York Knicks. Never.
Well, it's going to be a fun year, and we'll see. I mean, Zion's going to be, you know. He's going to have a chance to leave
5 years, basically. He's going to sign his extension with New Orleans.
I was listening to somebody yesterday, though. I was listening to somebody who made it sound like he wouldn't, though. Like Zion.
His extension?
Was it maybe Chad Ford? I don't know. Maybe it was Chad Ford on Gino and Jeff yesterday. But they almost made it sound like Zion would leave after, you know, the first chance he gets. And I was trying to think, like, who's the last number one pick of that caliber to have not signed an extension?
Short.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that because of the money.
Because of the money. That's what you do now.
Well, I hope for your sake Zion goes to New York, because clearly you're thirsty for it. You need a superstar back in New York City.
No, he looked thirsty in a loss. Again, being up in the Garden, New York would be fools not to jump on that as soon as they can.
Yeah.
And to get all over that.
Knicks watch parties at Jason's.
No. You know, I'm a Suns guy.
That's right.
I didn't pick the Knicks over the next 5 years.
That's right. That's true.
They did make a finals.
All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here in the Rundown. Penny Hardaway had some interesting things to say at the Pro-Am today. We'll get into that. Potential hires, Jalen Duren, all of that and more. That's up next. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM, ESPN. An Odyssey station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Real quick, because Jason's got me going now. We're going to call Jason Mr. 1996. My man got the Patrick Ewing jersey hung up. That's what they should be. They should just have a Patrick Ewing, you know what I'm saying? Every single year.
You just don't remember when they were good. You've never lived in a
Those
world.
Those were some formative memories for you, I can tell. Jason says we need to get my Space Jam review on the record. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the rundown. We're going to start with the Space Jam, and then we'll get to the relevant stories. Let's do the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Get the pen out because we're gonna add to my trigger board. We're going to add to my trigger board for the first time since God knows when, probably 2017, 2018. I took a little...
The old man still got a pen in the pocket.
Yes, he does, for some reason.
You knew I would. Yeah,
not sure why.
Old dependable. How'd you know I'd have a pen?
Unclear as to why you have a pen, but do you still have that notepad?
Just walk around.
Have you retired that yet?
No.
My man would be writing down stuff in that notepad when we first started the show for no reason. You would just write down what people said.
Well, no, that was in a case I had to rank something or judge something.
Okay.
Those were the only instances.
Okay.
Don't miscast.
My apologies.
John. Yeah.
Anyway, took a little baby moon trip to Mexico. Me and my wife wanted to do something nice for her last month, so we went to Mexico. By the way, not going to travel internationally during COVID again, not until these restrictions are lax. Because
got tested quite a bit.
I tested once, but it was just a giant pain in the ass because you got to take a questionnaire, you wait in line, then you get to the front of the line, like, oh, you got to do this, you got to go fill that out, got to re-go through the line again. I mean, it was a pain in the ass.
Sound like the kind of guy done like showing his vaccination card.
I wish I could have shown my vaccination card so I could have skipped the line. I will wear the vaccination card on my forehead,
oh,
bro.
Oh, get a tattoo.
Yes.
There.
Okay. Like, I do not care. If it lets me skip and bypass all that stuff. Anyway, when we got back from Mexico, the first thing I did was I put on Space Jam 2.
Oh, you need to answer for this.
That is the first thing I did.
You conveniently took the whole month off.
Because I was hopeful. I think we had talked about it. The trailer came out, and it looked not that bad.
You were hopeful like LeBron. You were saying the thing going to be great.
It looked not that bad. And I put it on HBO Max, and I sat there, and within about 10 minutes, I realized that I had made an enormous mistake. I had made the mistake of thinking that this movie would capture an iota of what the original did for me back in the day. I had made the mistake of thinking that it would in any way, shape, or form have any moment in the entire course of the film that would be funny or interesting or not corny as hell. It was an awful movie. And I know people are going to say, well, it's for kids. Look, is Bluey.
Yeah.
All right?
How old are you?
Bluey is for kids. I freaking love Bluey. That show is hilarious, man. Those damn dogs. Bingo. My kid loves Bluey. I love Bluey. It's for kids. It's amazing. Just because it's for kids doesn't mean that it can't be good and entertaining for adults as well. This movie failed in every way.
Damn.
It wasn't funny. LeBron's not a good actor.
He's a better actor than Mike.
I can't believe Ryan Coogler, who has, a freaking laundry list of accomplished films that he has either directed or been a part of, would dare put his name within 30 meters of this thing.
He was paid well.
Don Cheadle was not even good in this thing.
Oh, get off
Don
Cheadle.
He wasn't. It was awful. I mean, the whole premise was, LeBron's telling his son that you got to play basketball. You can't be a computer programmer because you need to play. Well, that's stupid. Who would ever say that to somebody? Who would? I don't care who you are. If Bronny came up to LeBron and said, hey, Dad, you know, I really think I want to pursue a career in computer engineering. LeBron's not going to say, no, you need to play basketball, kid. That's your only chance. LeBron's going to support him. In this movie, for whatever reason, Dad was a real ass, and he said, you need to play basketball or else you have no future in this life. And so then the premise of this thing is the kid plays for the other team, which is so stupid. Who wrote this? I mean, this is awful. And then the kid changes teams mid-game, okay? Like, it's like Don Cheadle steps in as his stepdad, this weird stepdad thing going on,
it's
right?
A James family trait.
Yeah, like
change teams.
He has like a traitor thing, and then he like, you could have actually made, they tried to do some references, but you could have made it really funny. Like, LeBron is actually an easy target.
I don't think anybody was more let down in the country than this fool.
This man likes Siskel and Ebert over here.
I'm giving real talk. Somebody's got to do it.
For somebody who didn't like the movie, you got this plot down.
Oh, I watched it.
You sound like you don't have any. You sound like you got no kids.
And you know what?
I would say he's not a father.
And you know what?
Not a father.
And you know what?
No.
So he was so let the 30-something-year-old dude let down.
This man.
LeBron don't care about you.
And you know what? I said, okay, look, the plot, awful. I mean, the whole thing is like they get trapped in this computer and Don Cheadle's like this. You know,
you thought he was corny.
Siri thing, whatever he was. And then it's like, all right, well, play me or, you know, I'll keep you in here forever. You know, just, whatever. I was like, at least maybe the game will be interesting because that was the peak of the first one. I mean, the game was filled with drama. It was well done. It was interesting, believable. Dude, even...
Believable? What yes. Now, that was stupid to say believable.
Even the game...
Mike's arm stretched the whole court, fool.
That was Looney Tune land. That's what happens. You can do that in Looney... But he had to figure out he could do that. It was like, it built up.
Oh, it was believable.
Crescendoed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, it crescendoed. Yeah.
Jessica Rabbit was in the damn movie, John.
Lola Bunny. Was Jessica Rabbit in the original?
The first one.
Oh, maybe she was. Maybe she did have a little cameo.
She made a cameo. A
lot of cameos in this one, too. But from the minute that the game cameos. Started, okay, it wasn't even basketball they were playing.
Y'all say I hate on LeBron.
They're playing like some stupid arcade game where you get 5 points for this and stop points and 12 points for that. And the game's like 12,000 to 9,000 after the third quarter. Like, this is not even basketball. This is some stupid made-up game that they're playing. What are we teaching our kids? All right?
It doesn't sound like you're going to be teaching it to Riley.
You got Anthony Davis. Hey, LeBron. You got bad voice work. Okay, Damian. Like, it's all awful. Everything about it was terrible. And don't even give me... Oh, the kid, no. If your kid liked it, he's been deprived. He's been deprived.
Stop.
Show him some real good movies. You haven't shown him good movies.
My
kid
liked once the game started, so now you're slapping him in the face.
Well, he's been deprived.
Basically, yeah.
Show him the first one.
Oh, I have.
Well, I don't understand how he can reconcile that.
It was actually your copy that we showed him.
How do you reconcile having seen the first one and still enjoying the second one's game? It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
When LeBron figured out that he was being a bad dad,
oh bro,
my son cried.
Oh,
and that's what it's about—the kiddies.
Yep.
Now we just listened to almost a hell of a rant, man. It's almost embarrassing
it's
how long it went
on.
On
that movie.
Like it's all hot fire, and he's probably right, but it's embarrassing.
It really
that
is.
That it's coming from this dude here.
The venom and the vigor.
Yeah, because it ain't about John Martin. It wasn't about impressing
you can't
him.
Say it's not about
it
me,
was,
bro.
It was about the kiddies. It was about the kiddies and the parents that are chained to their kiddies and got to take them. It ain't about you liking it. It's
but
about LeBron trying to get your
I
kid
am the
to like
father
it
of a
and,
daughter.
And drag you to the thing.
I am the father of a daughter, and if I you know, I am the consumer, right? The kids don't pay for the movies, right? They don't get to just pay. They don't mow lawns to go pay for the movie.
The computer thing and virtual world, what are we in? That's what these kids are in now. It's all a virtual world and Roblox and all this other mess. They relate to that stuff, John. And so my kid, once the game started, my kid was all in. Now, all that mess beforehand, before we saw the cartoon, he was all the way out on, you could say. But my kid was in. And the point is, that's who matters here, not you. I'm so sorry that you're let down. Really not sorry. I didn't expect it to come in here to go on that long.
I'll be honest. It was like, y'all can probably Google this. It was as bad.
Like I said, it's not believable.
McDonald's.
None of that mess is believable, fool.
McDonald's used to have a series, okay, with Ronald McDonald and Grimace and all those people, okay?
Yeah, the burger.
Hamburglar. It was that bad. I actually think the McDonald's series was better. I think with the Hamburglar and Grimace and Ronald McDonald, whatever that was, that short run was better than Space Jam 2.
I still don't know what Grimace was. What was he?
Whatever he was better than Space Jam 2. Just terrible.
Next story.
Yeah, I think Brad's right here. You're kicking something that doesn't deserve to be kicked this much.
I was the part of the old generation, and I had a little bit of hope. That was crushed 5 to 10 minutes into the movie.
Next story.
Something that was much more successful, the Grizzlies last night. 104-65. They'll be back in action tonight against Utah's white team. Yesterday it was the Jazz blue that the Grizzlies absolutely throttled. Literally Bane hit the first shot, I think, and that's sort of what it was an outclassing of a Utah team. Wasn't ready for, you know, a Grizzly team that's got some guys that, you know, probably don't have a chance of making, but it's also of the league, but also got a you know, a couple at Bain and Xavier Tillman who were big parts of the rotation last year, especially there toward the end of the season. They set the tone early. Bain had 14-4. Xavier Tillman, we joked about it, making himself untradeable with 11 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block.
Pons look good.
That's what I was going to get to, is that you expect Bain and Tillman. That's the whole point. We say the same thing about Summer League every year. If you're doing what Bain and Tillman are doing, okay, you don't get too happy about it. That's what you're supposed to do. It's when you're not performing at that sort of level, when you're a rotation player, our eyebrows, our red flags, they all sort of go up. So more so than that, I think it's what you got from guys like Pons. How do you pronounce that first name? It's French.
Eve
Pons.
Eve. Just pronounce it Eve. The S is silent.
Eve Pons.
It's French. 12 points, 1 rebound, but 2 blocks in the 21 minutes. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, was he not?
Good player, yeah.
Super active. Does go 5 of 7 from the field, which is the important part for him, and 2 of 2 from 3. So shows off a little bit of an ability to be able to stop and at least spot up and knock down a 3. Hopefully that continues for him. He's a real active dude. I wouldn't mind seeing him as sort of part of the franchise again, whether that's on a 2-way deal or whatever it is, sort of going forward, just because of his activity level. You see him, he's got the NBA athleticism, much like Keon does, those former Tennessee guys
teammate,
in athleticism.
Sure.
He's got it, and it looks like a guy who belongs, if we're just talking about the athleticism. Again, last night, he looks a little polished, knocks down the 2 threes. So that was a bright spot, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the guy who led him in scoring in Romeo Weems, the former DePaul standout, had 17 points, I believe 6 or 7 rebounds, too. Weems was 5 of 7 from the field. He hit 2 threes as well. Grizz wins, Summer League. Folks have asked about it. Where's, just for those that might be listening or wondering that have been under a rock, where's Zaire? Where's Zaire Williams? Well, that deal won't be officially complete until the new NBA year starts, August 6th. And so expect to see Zaire in the Summer League over in Vegas when that starts up this weekend, a little bit later on this week. And so Grizzlies right now with Bain and Tillman leading them 1-0 in Summer League. This is the Utah Summer League. They'll play the Jazz's white team tonight at 8. You know, in a game they should win as well. That's a split squad, Jazz squad. You should roll them.
Next story.
Penny Hardaway had some interesting things to say out at the Pro-Am this morning for TPC, WGC that's taking place at TPC Southwind this week. Number of things. Now, you were the first to mention publicly Rasheed Wallace's candidacy at the University of Memphis as an assistant.
Seemed to be coming to fruition.
Yeah, he kind of stopped short of saying it
was
done.
Although Penny just said he's a candidate.
Yeah, right? Stopped short of saying it was done. I'm not sure if
that man hadn't even said, like, Jermaine and not on me back, right? We're just like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well, he said
he's a decision to make.
Yeah, he says he sounds like he's got multiple candidates that he's considering, although I've heard it will be Rasheed Wallace. And you know, the popular thought is that, oh, Rasheed Wallace, Philly, Jalen Duren, Philly, that's why you're bringing in Rasheed Wallace.
I heard you would, Joe.
Yeah.
You realize Delaware, though, the part he's from is close to Philly. It's right there.
It's right across the bridge.
Yeah. Plus, he went to high school in Roman, Catholic school there.
Yeah, but they're
first
not.
First 2 years of his career.
They're not bringing in.
No, it's not. It's not to say, hey, we're going to get Jalen Duren if we bring Rasheed Wallace in, like Miami is hoping to get him with his former grassroots and high school coach. No, it's not the same.
Right. It's simply an effort to double down on NBA. That's what they're doing. We talked about, do you have to change that up when Jalen Green goes G League? Do you have to sort of dial back on that? Not only have they not dialed back on it.
We actually made the case that you should.
Right. Penny has said, no, I will not do that. I will double down on it, and I will bring in more NBA people, which is what he has done with Larry Brown. And
although some things have changed since we had that discussion, including name, image, and likeness, and how much that can help you
very fair.
In the battle
that is
to
fair.
Win.
That is a good point.
In the battle to win
that's
over
crucial.
The pro route now.
Because, look,
that's
one of the,
changed too.
That's one of the pitches that they are making to Jalen Duren.
Clearly it is.
Like, everybody clearly. Will make that. It's not that's not like some breaking news. Everybody is going to make that pitch. Miami is making the same pitch to Jalen Duren. Hey, come here. You're going to be in the ACC, and we'll get you X, Y, and Z. Memphis, hey, come to Memphis. Be the face of the program in a community that loves basketball. We'll get you X, Y, and Z. So everybody is – all things are equal in that sense, right? I don't think Rasheed Wallace is going to be the tipping point. He's just more of sort of what Penny is trying to build, which is the NBA pipeline.
I'm just going to be real honest with you. When we said you have to go – now double down on guys like Jonathan Lawson, the best to come out of here, I think it was with the sort of you're working on the the sort of premise that, well, now it's more important than ever, and we even said this on the air, that you lock down home. It's always important to lock down Memphis and get the top guys, but we said more important than ever because without a tournament appearance, right, at some point when it comes to recruiting these national guys, are you still with things like the G League and everything else pulling on them, is it going to be, you know, are you still going to have that same sort of pull? And so I would tell you that, and we touched on this yesterday, to be in year four and to be on the number one player
yep.
in the country for 2022, who's nowhere from around Memphis, you didn't have, you know, pre-existing ties with, you've just basically done, to do that without a tournament appearance, pretty damn impressive. You know, a lot of folks have talked about, well, a lot of what Penny's done, it's made headlines, mm-hmm. and it's true. Going to get Larry Brown, right? This talk about Rasheed Wallace and all this kind of stuff, and you've made these splashes with these recruiting classes, but it hasn't turned into tournament appearances. Are looking at that as it's just sort of style over substance that there isn't any.
Right.
But we know well in here with how we saw last year how close they were. We know there's more to the story than that.
Yep.
That it's more than just you haven't made the tournament, and it's just Penny Hardaway making a bunch of headlines, making a bunch of PR moves, but not having any results. It feels like they're close. And so to bottom line it, to be at this point with no tournament appearances, able to be in on a guy like Jalen Duren, pretty damn impressive by Penny Hardaway. You're not going to be measured on that ultimately, though. It will always go back to tournament appearances, and we talked about it. You get a guy like Jalen Duren that it feels like you're close to, you know, maybe getting an announcement on Friday. We'll see. Like yep. John says, Miami feels awfully good about it too. You're going to get that. You're going to be able to finally check that tournament box. But yeah, man, I mean, it's not just style here and PR points that Penny's getting. It's hopefully in terms of it's building this thing back to where it was supposed to be when he got when they made the hire. Feels like you're close. And even a Rasheed Wallace, I think, in some ways, much like we talked about with Larry Brown and situationally with players, he's been through everything, so that'll help you, especially during the season. Maybe yep. you're going through a little downturn. Here's what I did when we were going through this with Larry.
Yep.
I think with Rasheed, it's kind of like polish. You know, with some of your with some of your bigs, he's a four-time All-Star. Maybe DeAndre or if you get him, Jalen Duren's going through a little bit of a struggle. Rasheed there, in terms of being a big guy who's gone through some things, can help you sort of be that polish, not get you over the hump, but be that polish that helps you, you know, sort of get there and then do some damage once you're there.
I agree.
I don't think this is just that's a spot, doesn't matter what you do with it. I think Rasheed Wallace can actually help with Memphis's bigs.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah. and then again, like
especially if you get Duren.
His name recognition, you know, I mean, like it's again, random, I would say.
Yeah, I heard you say with the call. It's super random.
Yeah, like it's just a random hire, you know?
I mean, he was just here asking
doesn't mean
about
it's bad. It doesn't mean it's a bad hire. It's just kind of random. It's like you just kind of pulled Rasheed Wallace's name out of the air.
I'll say this. In a lot of ways, he was doing what Penny was just doing in terms of trying to build his way up into a reputable coaching career where that maybe it lands up in college. He was doing the grassroots thing and then the high school thing. He was doing – and Penny might see right now a lot of himself – in Rasheed Wallace, with how serious Rasheed probably it sounds like he is right now in terms of coaching being his future. And so I bet you Penny sees a lot of himself too in Rasheed. But again, it's not just about seeing yourself in Rasheed. There's a lot of NBA players that want to be college coaches and have the opportunity. I think he clearly sees some value in getting Jalen Duren. I don't think it's at the top of the list, but absolutely helping those big guys, you know, with DeAndre and what he can do for Big Sam and Malcolm Dandridge. I think you know, compared to what you've had in that spot, you know, Jermaine couldn't coach up bigs. Jermaine can coach players. I think it's probably an upgrade on what you had.
And let me just say this.
Because it fills a need that you didn't really have.
Let me just say this, in case there's any doubt about Duren and his impact, it will be major and it will be felt immediately. Now, that might sound obvious as that he's the number one player in the class 2022, but there are some out there who feel like, you know, we'll just – no. This kid, even though he doesn't wow you with the numbers and he's not going to come in here and average 20 a game, that's not his game, this dude will make a huge impact immediately.
You said he could be a fourth leading scorer here, you said, with Jeff Doe?
No, that was Gary.
Oh, okay.
Gary said he thinks he might be the fourth leading scorer. I could see him
on a team that's got, what, a 13, a 14, a 12, an 11.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of firepower.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's not like a – that's like. I mean, because that's not going to be what he's asked to do, though they will run things for him. You know, they will run things for Jalen Duren.
I would tell you that he's got a shot to be the conference player of the year. How could you not if you were a top five, top 10 pick in the NBA draft the next season?
Yes.
This is not Musa Cisse to me. You know, in terms of physically what he brings, You know, we talked about Moose and defensively was where he was a difference maker, but you can make the argument that he was a liability offensively for that team.
Right.
And certainly down the stretch of games, that's different for Jalen Duren. And so as much as like you'd come in expecting a Lester Quinones type, the Landers Nolly, who was first team All-AAC last year, to sort of get those accolades, but you get Jalen Duren, a guy who could possibly be a top five pick in the draft, you telling me he's not up for conference play of the year? I would expect him to be. Especially in the AAC with that body.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not saying he's going to come in here and average 20 and 10. I agree with Gary on that. That's not his game. And Gary's watched him closely. He was at the Peach Jam there.
Yeah.
But would he be dominant in the AAC to the point that you win conference play of the year? Absolutely. He should be if you're a top five pick.
He slides in immediately. He does all the little stuff. He doesn't expect to have to score a lot, but they will run stuff for him. He's not going to be Moose in that sense, right? Like, he's going to actually be able to make decisions with the ball in his hands, you know, read and react. Stuff they wish Musa could do, right? This is not a – I like Musa as a player. I think if Musa was on this roster, you know, I think it'd be a great thing. He's not. He's gone. He's in Stillwater now. So that being the case, Jalen Duren, 100%. Just to the extent that they're missing something, it's a for sure answer at point guard, and it's a true big, right? And Malcolm kind of like had some moments last year, but has been inconsistent, like a true consistent big man. And that is what Jalen Duren represents. And so if they land him on Friday, it will be a glorious day for Memphis. It will be a very, very, very glorious day for the University of Memphis. So that's the latest. Also, Penny shouted out, Jonathan Lawson. He's been working out with Penny every morning, getting it in. And, you know, I tweeted this today. Keelan told me that Penny has basically made it his mission to not mess this up with Jonathan, you know, given the background, given the history with you know, with the family. Like, Penny has made it his own personal mission to make sure that Johnny has some success at Memphis.
I think the part that raised the most interest with me that you said that Keelan said, more so than that, was that you said less for him is better.
Less is best.
Because typically – And if you maybe you want to add a little context there, you were talking about that with Jeff. Are we talking about minutes? Are we talking about responsibility? Sounds like the Hulk of, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where typically do you see that in 2021? I mean, you want your kid to get all of it if he can be a one and done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's typically what we're seeing these days. So it was I thought interesting.
It was in reference to the minutes, although I feel like he's gonna be impossible to keep off the floor.
Remember, at one time Keelan told us it was really year two that he expected this to take off for his son.
Yes, that's consistent.
And now he's even saying through the workouts now.
Yes,
you don't hear that much.
No, I agree.
Most you know folks, and as talented as Jonathan is, the folks around you, they want all they can get. Give me a starter role day one. I want all the minutes.
Yep.
So to hear that, I mean. You can tell it's coming from a veteran father who's been through the wars and seen quite a little bit, because you don't hear that from folks that are new to this thing. Most of the time, it's give us those minutes. We want to start a job. We'll take whatever we can get. So to hear that from Keelan, that the patience he's also maybe sort of preaching that with Penny and what he gives.
Yep.
I thought was pretty telling.
And then last thing, vaccinations.
Next story.
Because that is going to be a hot topic in college sports, right? It's going to be we just talked about it with Silverfield. Penny said, they're not quite there yet, but that he's hoping to be. Now, we know they had an outbreak last year, and it's just going to have to be a continuing conversation, with young student athletes. So anyway, that was Penny Hardaway today out at the Pro-Am.
Next story.
All right, you tell me if this is stupid or being a leader. Did you see what happened with as much as I'd love to talk about Malik Monk and our new role with the Lakers? I'm going to set that to the side.
Thank you.
And talk about some NFL training camp. Because we're rolling into action.
Rolling in, brother.
And I'd love to sit here and talk to you about Bears camp, but they're not really one of the relevant teams, at least right now. Anyway, but did you see what happened with Daniel Jones and Giants training camp? Fight, which happens at training camp all the time. But guess who was at the bottom of the pile? Guess who jumped up in there? Daniel Jones, to a point they're having to pull him up out of there, and that's the question. Like we said, started with Evan Ingram retaliated. This is over at ESPN. It was a late hit to running back Corey Clement. Logan Ryan comes in, levels Ingram from behind. Rest the team, including Jones, then jumps into the melee, and a lot of the teammates were cheering. Daniel Jones on for jumping in, but a lot of them, too, were looking at him like, what are you doing, fool? You're our starting quarterback. Much of the expectations around this football team this year and the future revolve around you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go jumping into the pile to, go protect your offensive guy or not. I would ask you, John Martin, if you are on that team, do you look at Daniel Jones in a different way now? Well, maybe you already thought very highly of him. Do you look at him and say, yeah, he's one of us. He's willing to do everything I am. Or are you looking at him and say, damn fool, what are you doing getting into that pile? Was that a smart move by Daniel Jones? I mean, might win a couple guys in the locker room, but you could have ended your season as well.
Yeah, first of all, he's like, what are you going to do? Like, damn, what you going to do? That's how I look at him. Like, I'm a defensive lineman. Like, okay, you jump in a pile. What you going to do, man? You know, so I'm
Daniel Jones, a tall dude, though.
I know, but he ain't.
Get your ass out of here.
Exactly. He is not about that life. Like, he don't want that.
That's funny.
He don't want that.
So Jones was plucked out of the pile by his offensive lineman, Kenny Wiggins, kind of reached in there and pulled him on out. And they basically told him, we love the moxie and we love your willingness to mix it up. But don't ever do that again.
I think Daniel Jones
Justin
is
Fields doesn't feel like he has to do any of that to win over a lot.
Well, I think that's the heart of it, right? Like, Daniel Jones feels like he played so poorly last season that he's got to win his teammates back over, and this is
damn,
how he does
bro.
That. But I would say,
but he wasn't that awful.
I mean, he was pretty bad.
It's his team.
Yeah,
is it not for better or for worse?
I don't know. I don't know why.
Is he still trying to? What is this, year four for him?
Year three or four.
Yeah. He's still trying to win guys over to the point you feel like you've got to die.
They haven't done anything with him.
No.
I mean, let's be real, too. He didn't have Barkley. I mean, the only thing he's got to throw to, frankly, is Evan Engram.
Yeah.
And, hell, when he's throwing to him, he's dropping passes. Evan was a letdown last year. Expect a rebound year for him. If you can't tell, I had him in fantasy last year.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones didn't quite have a ton to work with offensively last year either. Now, he is tripping over his own feet, too, on those long touchdowns.
He's going into year three. I mean, he threw for
– it's the third year.
He threw for 11 touchdowns and 10 picks last season. I mean, he's just not very good. He took a step back last season. Now, granted, they got him some weapons now with Kenny Golladay, though he has an injury as well. No, I mean, Tom Brady would never do this. Aaron Rodgers would never do this. No quarterback worth a damn would ever subject themselves to an injury like that by getting in the middle of a damn brawl. You let the freaking offensive lineman and the linebackers handle that, and you stay the hell away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an idiot.
I think that's where I come down on this, too. You're supposed to – you should know that by now, Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no way Derek Carr's doing that. There's just no way that Jimmy Garoppolo is doing that.
Well, Derek Carr's had an injury issue, so, of course, he's not.
Well, I'm going to pick a quarterback.
We know what would happen if he got
pick a quarterback, you know. Like, Trevor Lawrence ain't getting in the freaking – he's a rookie. He ain't getting in the bottom of the pile. Like, you got to be an idiot. I mean, you brain dead damn near. I would cut him.
No, you wouldn't. Not if you're
the
Giants.
Because
you have done nothing in terms of what's after Daniel Jones. No, he is the franchise right now.
Yes, I do look at him differently.
You say he's dumb. Well,
yes.
That's where it started.
I said,
is Daniel Jones stupid or a leader? You're taking
stupid.
The stupid route.
A leader would have said, would have gotten the guys together afterward, right? And said something along the lines of, hey, we're one team, one goal, blah, blah, blah. Not jump in the middle of it like a freaking circus, man.
Oh, yeah. I think he won a couple teammates over, maybe a couple fourth and fifth stringers.
No, I think you lose respect, man. It's like, do you know you're the quarterback. You know that you're the most important part of this team, right? You're going to try to get in here with us? Get in here and wrestle with us?
NFL
Well,
marching
you really are
on.
As stupid as you look.
What do we got? A Hall of Fame game tomorrow?
Yep, Dallas games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. How about that? What you can hear right here?
We're actually going to have our first game will be the Arizona game, the preseason game in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So they do this Hall of Fame game. It's a one-off, and then they'll do the preseason game against Arizona.
Talked about that. Isaac Bruce going into the Hall this
That's
weekend.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
big time. First
big
Tigers
time.
Player to do that.
Yes.
Bears camp rolls on. John, how's
the
Raiders
Chicago
camp
Chicago Bears.
Going? Raiders camp going well?
You know
gonna
what?
Be a big season. Everything look good over there.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Just wanted to see if you want to chime in on this. Well,
yeah, how are we looking over there?
We've had three players retire since camp started.
Damn, it's only getting worse over there. It's fun to check in with
John.
The,
what do you think of the Dallas Cowboys?
Though,
the Dallas Cowboys.
I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be heard right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What do you want to say about the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, Dak's healthy. He's going to throw for 500
Defense
yards.
Defense improved.
That arm though, there's some. Crazy.
Yeah, he's got some
pain.
Shoulder. That's
on.
What I'm hearing too.
I don't like that
hit either.
I think they'll be a competitive outfit.
Oh, they're going to win the division.
Yeah,
I win the division.
Wow.
Yeah. A division slaw, though.
Wow, that's disrespectful to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Washington football team, sir.
Yeah, they're slaw.
They do have Antonio Gibson. who's going to, like, by the way, like top 10 of fantasy drafts.
Yes, he's will and will perform like one.
Mm-hmm. I'll
tell you
so.
That right now, because that offense has got some things on the edges now with Samuel and the other cat that was already
the Washington football team.
We'll come back. Ryan McDonough going to join us at 1:25. Get his thoughts on the NBA, on free agency, on the Grizzlies draft. And more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tops Barbecue, serving you the best barbecue in Memphis since 1952. Coincidentally, that is the last time that the New York Knicks were championship contenders. Jason, holding on to 1952 was one of the...
You holding on to that joke.
Great years. One of the all-time great years for Jason Smith. Anytime you can have Tops Barbecue, it's going to be a great day. The brisket that we had yesterday, delicious. The cheeseburgers, made to order, always fresh. You got the sides, the slaw, the beans, the potato salad, the fries. All delicious. Tops Barbecue, raised on Tops Barbecue here in Memphis, all throughout the city. Get over there today.
Hungry yet? You should be. We were talking about that brisket sandwich yesterday. Had some had it delivered by Tops. It was fantastic, as it always is. I tell you, go get the Fireman. That's their fantastic burger. Always made fresh, never frozen. Put it with their barbecue. That's called the Fireman. Go get that. But that brisket sandwich right up there as well. You'll be just as satisfied with it. Do mine with a little slaw on it. That's some good eating. It always has been at Tops. Was for me growing up. As John said, we were raised on it. Literally, the Union Avenue location was the one my dad always hit up, brought home, and we continue to. Now you can head over to Stage Road, 16 locations, plenty of places to get your Tops Barbecue. The best there is, Tops Barbecue Seed Smoke. Taste the flavor.
So a couple of things that are going on in the American Athletic Conference that we will touch on here. Memphis, of course, was picked to finish fifth in the AAC earlier today by the media. Damn media.
Too low.
First thing is Mike Oresko denied allegations that his conference and ESPN had, quote, strategically aligned or plotted to influence conference structures.
It was a denial that you called cap.
Yes, it was. Well, maybe not in so many words, right?
strategically aligned or plotted.
Right, I told you that. This is a careful use of words there.
Right, it's like
big words.
It's like word gymnastics a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like he's better than Simone Biles.
We wouldn't do that. ESPN has never done that and would not do it. And no, we didn't talk. There wasn't as much as an email.
Yeah. So there's always like, and I always assume this in like when a deal gets done in sports or whatever, like a coach, right? A coach will say, I haven't talked to anybody. Like at the end of a season, a college football, like Mike Norvell might say, I'm just using him as an example. I don't think he said this, but Mike Norvell might say, I mean, I'm happy at Memphis. I haven't talked to anybody. You know, no, you haven't talked to anybody because your agent talked to somebody. That's the way it works. So just like there's always somebody working behind the scenes for coach, mm-hmm. there's somebody always working behind the scenes for the AAC, you know. And so I think that's the thing you have to – and by the way, I don't blame the AAC. I don't blame them. You have to be active and proactive and, you know, try to take advantage of a wobbly situation because, dude, you're getting $7 million per. Like, you're just getting by, dog, you know. That's the thing. You got to try to improve your situation where you can. I'm not mad at them, and I don't expect them to say, we did it. What are you going to do about it? You know?
I kind of wanted to see that, but Resco's too smart.
That would be epic if he actually came out and said, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I mean, he did hit Bob Bowlesby. You have seen those cartoons. I guess, what do they do this? Y'all would know this better than me because it's back to your homeland. What they do this in where you'd slap the other guy with the glove.
What?
You know what I'm saying? You take off your glove. You see in the cartoons, you know what I'm saying? When you're in a little bit of a duel, and you instead of hitting the guy, you take off your glove and you slap him with it.
Is that like a European?
Yeah, I think so.
I mentioned you heard the word. I heard the word homeland.
You heard that. You heard it. It's a European thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think either one of us, though, on the show go back that far.
So instead of like going off on Bowlesby and doing like what you said, it was sort of like a slap. What he said, he said, any suggestion or statements that we colluded with ESPN with regard to the structure of any other conference is a completely unfounded and grossly irresponsible accusation. And that's all I really have to say about that at this point. That, I mean, it's a shot at Bowlesby. Clearly it is. It's that denial, just like ESPN put out last week.
Right.
But instead of it being pointed and saying, Bob Bowlesby, he's doing that little slap, that little gentleman slap across the face with the glove.
Yes.
That you grew up on. People did growing up back during the day.
Yeah, this is like the old white man clapback.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, like, it's a white man clapback.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, a little slap with the glove. Psh. You ever seen that? I think it's Goofy or something. Disney did one of these. Where, like,
I don't think Goofy was out here taking his glove off and pimp slapping Mickey.
Yeah, no, it was something like that. It was an old cartoon. You took it off and they kept doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of, is that old cartoon. I'm showing my age here because, again, that one outdated.
You've been showing your age all morning, let's be honest.
Between that and the Knicks.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. I mean, some of, you know, in 2021, you just go right back at your party. That's what social media's taught us and all that. But no,
right.
Resco being very careful.
No, very diplomatic.
With the gentleman slap. Yep. Bob Bowlesby, I got to imagine, his days these days, like waking up.
Yeah.
Ain't too much fun, is it?
No.
What are you doing? You're going to the bank and you're making sure all of your savings are
you're trying to keep everybody together is what you're trying to
you're doing that right now.
You call every school.
But at some point it's going to hit you that this thing's over.
Yeah, probably.
And that your job will be gone because whether they merge or whatever it is they do, what use will they have for you then?
Yeah.
And I'll be real honest with you, he sounds so out of touch during some of this stuff. Feels like the process has already started. So Bowlesby trying to justify, hey, his gig still going to have a Big 12, of course, and I'm going to be the head of it. That dude's got to wake up with some of the most stress of anybody in the country right now.
Yep.
Whole thing. I mean, nice cush life, right? He's had a nice one.
Yes.
Whole thing stands to be at risk here.
Yes.
Get taken out from under him.
Mike Resco also said that if games are impacted by COVID, they will not be rescheduled. And if teams cannot play, they will have to forfeit. So I think this is going to be uniform across college football, by the way. Like, I just, you know, the SEC basically hinted at it. The reality of the situation is you are going to see so fewer disruptions throughout college football. I mean, last year it felt like 25% of the games every week got canceled or rescheduled, you know?
Didn't Memphis have a couple of stoppages?
Yeah, they played the game against Arkansas State, and then they were off
Party
for like
bus.
A month. Yeah, and you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that this year. You're just not. You're going to have to forfeit. And so I do think you're going to see,
more vaccinations because of that. I think that is going to be a real motivating factor to go get vaccinated because you don't want to have to, you know, forfeit games. But I think you'll also see some behavioral changes, right? Like you don't want to be the guy that caused the outbreak on the team because that's it. So I think it will have the intended effect, and I think that over the course of the entire season, in every conference, you're going to see fewer disruptions.
No, I mean, what was key, what was telling was Ryan Silverfield saying, yes, this is what we got to do. Yep. One thing for Oresco to say it, right? This is what we're not going to stop for you guys. It's going to be a forfeit. It's another thing when your football coaches are on board. And so that goes to, again, we were talking about the job that Silverfield has right now. It's not just picking a quarterback and, you know, what are you going to do? Who's going to be your stud at running back? It's that. It's trying to talk the rest of your team. He talked about where they're at and expected to be at 80% by the time they kick off, but trying to talk the rest of your team into getting vaccinated so you don't get yourself in a position where you've got a big game coming up and all of a sudden you've got a COVID situation on your hands like you did last year.
Yep.
You know, stop. I mean, it shows us where we are with this thing, with where the science and sort of when you've got coaches right now saying this is the thing we've got to do. Because, again, you could talk about losing a real a competitive advantage. You lose one of these games and how much that could cost a coach. They've set that to the side. And you've got your coaches like Silverfield, your coaches in the AAC saying, no, this is what we've got to do. It just shows you we're in a different place with this thing now. And that is, as we say, part of the job right now as a football coach, as a college football coach in this country. And, look, Silverfield, like you said, he'd like it to be 100, knows it's not going to be by the time they kick off, but knows, too, there is no stopping this train this
exactly.
year for guys, even if it's a big game you've got coming up. And so I think that's why you see the urgency level with him talking about trying to convince guys.
100%.
It's probably part of your job every day. You're trying to talk to some guy into getting the vaccine and not putting the rest of your team at risk and not getting it.
And it'll be the same for basketball.
Potentially.
Too. Once it comes out that, and it will later in the year, right, that we're not going to be rescheduling and forfeiting, you know, or it's going to be a forfeit and we're not going to reschedule, you're going to see more vaccinations. That's the way it is. Like right now, look across the country, Delta's sweeping through the country. Vaccination rates in low vaccinated places are, they're surging.
Up.
Well,
surging?
Some of these are
depends on where
30%.
You're talking about.
Yeah, some places it's up 30% in the last couple of weeks. You know, so it's happening slowly. Way slower than it should be, but it is happening. But anyway, that's the latest in college football and the AAC. They're drawing a hard line in the sand when it comes to the COVID situation and forfeiting games. So that's the latest from Mike Oresco. We'll come back. Ryan McDonough going to join us at 1:25. Talk NBA with him. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.